Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to distribute to the commission a copy of substitute motion that I'd like to offer. And it's long enough that I don't know if I should read the entire motion out loud, but I want to go through it and see if this gets at some of the issues that I've been wrestling with. Perhaps as a prelude, I should just say that one of the things that is really challenging in this situation is trying to navigate the law that we're working with. And I know that the issue of has been, you know, tossed around, and I think we'll probably talk about some more about the threat of litigation, and that we should not act based on a threat of litigation. I agree with that. However, I think it is important that we recognize when there are legal issues that are not crystal clear, that we should tread very carefully and avoid litigation. And so in that spirit, I've been trying to craft something that I think addresses some of the legal issues that have been raised. And at the same time, take some of what the earlier substitute motion, some of the framework that was put forward in that, and try to put something together that I hope might be workable for that. So the motion, I'll just walk through it, and I think Pat may be able to come on the screen in a moment. But I'll go through. The motion would basically be to approve the application as we've noted before. That authorize the approve the expansion of the sphere of influence and authorize the city to provide the water to reserve the 40-acre footprint of the North Campus. The first condition says that the city will implement the water neutral program that somewhat along the lines we talked about, but there's a real difference. And this would be there would be an offset requirement for new increases in water demand in the 240-acre expansion of the city's sphere of influence. And will commence when UCSC water demand on the main campus increases by 30 million gallons per year over existing conditions. And I want to emphasize this, program of water demand offset will have to come back to LAFCO. And we would set a date of August as at least the first time it would come back. And that the water service would not be provided until the city's water demand offset program was approved by LAFCO. Second, the city would commit to reducing the stream and river diversion to a level authorized by the State Federal Resources Agency. Obviously, that's law and that's how it's got to be. And what I'm suggesting here is that the city shall not be able to provide water service to the North Campus for a period of 2 years from the approval of the application. During this time, the city will be required to continue pursuing approval of the habitat conservation plan and the incidental state permit by the relevant resource agency, and that the city shall provide semi-annual reports to LAFCO on its effort to obtain approval of an HCP and incidental state permit. Next has to do with the annexation in the future that the city will apply to annex the unincorporated portions of Crown, Maryland, and Polytime, and no later than December 31st, 2013, the city will apply for the annexation of the 240-acre expansion area of the city's sphere of influence. The city may apply for annexation of the unincorporated portions of Mount Merrill and Polytime 10 and the 240-acre expansion area of the city's sphere of influence separately or together. And the city will file a written report with LAFCO no later than January 2017 addressing the desirability and feasibility of annexing additional lands. Condition 4, no later than December 15th, 2014. The university shall provide LACCO to report evaluating feasibility of on-campus water sources to provide non-city water to meet the water needs of the campus. And one thing that I didn't put in my, in what's in writing here, but I would like to incorporate in my motion, is as a condition five, what the chancellor laid out in this before us in writing about this, the university contributing additional dollars to do offset on campus. So I wanted to go through a little bit more about condition one, because it's really in the details of that that I think we, you know, we really need to focus. So this is a little bit complicated, but I think this whole issue is complicated. It's going to take some complicated conditions to get it to meet both the legal, our legal concerns and our water concerns. So the first condition is modeled on the condition in the original, the earlier substitute motion, Commissioner Leopold's motion, about the city will implement and maintain this water neutral program, whereby increases in water demand in the North Campus area will be offset through the water conservation program described below within the entire service area. The water neutral program will conform to the following requirements. The baseline from which future increases in water demand in the expansion area will be measured is negative 30 million gallons per year, which LACCO finds is the current amount of water demand reductions the university has paid to offset future demand on the North Campus. Every year, using the city and university reports outlined below, a revised five-year average of main campus water demand shall be calculated. If that revised five-year demand average rises above the initial 176 million gallons per year, that $30 million gallon offset credit will be reduced by 1 million gallons for each increment of 1 million gallons annual demand that exceeds 176. And then I think maybe it's probably not useful for me to go through word by word. I'm sorry, I'm reading, you know, stuff that you can see on the screen or have something you have in front of you. But I wanted to just talk a little bit more about these conditions, condition one and the elements to it that I think are really important.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Would it be easier to ask questions as you go along, or would you want to present this all and then take questions?
You know, maybe, I think it might be good to go along, but let me just do kind of a comment on the first part, and then let's, I'll stop there, and then we'll do that. Because what I've kind of, on the paper you have in front of you is sort of labeled comments on condition 1A. So I just want to comment on that section, and then we should have a discussion on that before we go on to the rest. So my concern is that LACCO doesn't have jurisdiction to limit water use on the portion of campus already served by the city. And so LACCO will need to place its conditions on the water surface to the 240 acre expansion area. So utilizing the what Commissioner Leopold devised as sort of a five-year average framework for water use, which is that 176 million gallons. We can see that at the moment that UCSC has reduced its water demand by 30 million gallons per year compared to its peak use of 206 million gallons per year. As a condition of applying for an amendment to its sphere of influence, the city of Santa Cruz required UCSC to achieve some water savings on the main campus. And UCSC, by signing the comprehensive settlement agreement and undertaking an aggressive water conservation program, achieved that expected demand reduction, which amounted to 30 million gallons per year. And that, I think, you know, at the current level, at the current use, it's actually reduced by more than that. But I'm going to stick with Commissioner Leopold's average, and based on that average, it would be 30 million gallons per year. Since UCSC has reduced its demand by that much, this is the initial amount I suggest will be credit toward LACCO's water neutrality calculation. Thus, LACCO's condition of approval would state that every year, using the city and university water reports that are outlined below, a revised five-year average of main campus water use shall be calculated. If that five-year average rises above the current average of 176 million gallons, the 30 million gallon credit would be reduced by 1 million gallons each time for each million they went over that 176. This essentially requires UCSC to hold down water use or be sanctioned by having to offset more gallons of demand. So, this one's possibly the most complicated, so I certainly want to entertain the question.
Thank you, Chair. I don't understand the second half about the five-year average and the revised five-year average rise above the initial 176 and the 30 million gallons.
Yeah, so let me try and get a handle. I appreciate it that you're, you know, that's not easy to explain, frankly. But the idea is, if we just look at it today, it's pretty easy to see that 206 was that peak and 176 is the average of the last 5 years. But I think there's some concern that if the university kind of on the main campus started using a lot more water again, that credit would be overly generous. So what this does is it kind of makes that credit get smaller if they start using a lot more water on the main campus. So it's there so that if in the next couple of years that goes up above 176 a couple of times, then it would reset that number and they'd only get a, let's say, $25 million credit.
But I don't understand how the credit issue is aren't we really still saying that no conservation fees would go into place until they reach 206? That it seems like this is just a complicated way of saying that.
Then the city and the university together have to offset more sooner. So it's not about the dollars, it's about the city and this water neutrality program has to kick in sooner. It doesn't wait till, in a sense, it doesn't wait to 206 anymore. But I'm trying to create, frankly, it's to avoid a sort of a legal issue, as I'm trying to create it based on what's happening on the North Campus. But basing it on the history of reduction of the whole
campus. Maybe just to be clear, for the audience to know, that LACCO's authority is on the expansion of the North Campus area, not the existing campus. That's what we're trying to do.
And I would just say that in looking at these issues, I too have revised Condition 1 with the help of our attorney to be more conforming. This is new, and I'm not sure whether it was been reviewed by. But I think that our intentions may be similar, which is we want the university to offset any usage in the North Campus as they use the water, right? Every drop they use there, offset it someplace else. And this may be overly complicated, not. I think I come up with a different strategy, which it's time to maybe discuss, that is maybe a little bit more clear.
Other questions?
Yeah, I was wrong, very glad to hear this. The intriguing idea, some ones in line with the I'm trying to understand exactly what all this is. You're talking about revising five-year average. That is influenced from some of the world numbers that are now. Might be 15 years before we can do some of that. Meanwhile, there might not be any number of volumes made after we've done well above 176 million. Maybe even 206.
I've done enough depth of scenario maybe to get at what you're talking about, but I think it's easy to see that if the university's water use grew past the 176 hours, that then their credit would go down. And once it goes down, then the offset program has to kick in that much sooner. So I don't think, even though I understand what you're saying about scenarios, I don't think that particular part, I hope is clear, is that basically we're setting a floor, and if they go above it, then it expedites the kicking in of a water neutrality program, which I think is exactly what I sense. I was trying to address something that I thought I heard here, which was we really wanted to make sure to get something in place that was really not being an open faucet, so to speak, that really created a system where, if they actually conserve better, they're not going to get any more credit. This only clamps down on the university if their average moves above the 176.
I just want to mention to the commission that some of the people in the audience have a question, to make sure the microphone is close. Any other questions?
Sorry, I could go ahead a little bit then. The next part of Condition 1A is I think particularly important for me as a city of Santa Cruz council member, and that is that, and I'm going to paraphrase what I wrote here. LAPCO early on in this process really said to the city, we want to know what your water neutrality program will look like. And we did. And the city council, without a lot of guidance from LAPCO, other than come up with something, show it to us, we tried. We did. My sense is that it fell short for some people, and that's okay. We're not offended. we're not upset with that feedback. We're just trying to find what LAPCO is looking for. So the whole point of this part of the condition is to say, give us more feedback, work with us, figure out, work with the city of Santa Cruz, tell us what you need. I think the city is willing to make it more rigorous, more precise than what you saw before. Basically, most of the feedback we got so far is that's not good enough. And that's okay. That's okay, but we need some help from LAPCO too. And so what I'm proposing is that we explicitly say that next time LAPCO meets, the city will buy a new version, and perhaps in the meantime, a couple of LAPCO members would meet with the city water staff and just work it out. There's no guarantee that one time, by August we'll have it done, but at least we're saying that's our goal, is it will come back in August. And once that was, and if it didn't get approved by LAPCO in August, it would have to come back again, because until the water service would not be provided until LAPCO approved that element.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, once a motion is made and put on the floor, then at that point the LAPCO alternates are not participating with the mentioned commission that would be considered that motion. So it's just prior to the motion actually being put on the floor, as an alternate allowed to comment on.
Thank you. I wish I had known.
No, okay. But at this point, that we have a motion on the floor, but this is a substitute motion, not on the floor. I suppose it wants to speak. Does that change that?
Mr. Chairman, while they're consulting, could we not just consciously make a choice to allow Ms. Bobby to ask the question?
I think it might be a legal question.
Okay. Substitute broker here. The commission has adopted the purposes rules of parliamentary procedure. The commission has amended just a few of the standard rules, and one of those concerns very much you just raised, and it states that the alternates are encouraged to participate in the commission's debate until such time as there is a motion on the floor. And I think the concept behind that is it's hard enough for seven people to sort through a motion and get to an informed conclusion than it is 8 or 9 or 10. With that said, it is your own rule, and if you want to waive it for one person or for three, one time, or the rest of the meeting, you can agree to do that.
Is that a choice of the chair or a choice of the commission?
Can I make a suggestion? I would like to move that we table the motion for 5 minutes.
Motion by Graham.
Second.
I just really want to point a clarification, and I understand you said, Mr. Lane, Commissioner, excuse me, Councilman, Commissioner, and you, I get confused. That what you're saying now is that no matter what the existing campus does with its water, LAFCO has nothing to say about it. It can use three times the amount of water it's using now. If it's all serving on the expansion area, then that's all that we can have to say about
it. Yes and no, I guess. I'm saying that they can't, because that's why I'm trying to put this mechanism in there so that there's a restraint against them using lots more water. That's what this measure is about. But in fact, I do believe it is the case that the city and LAFCO both can't regulate how much water the place that is already served by the city, how much is used there. Just like at my house, except that there's a system-wide moratorium or water cutback, the city can't single me out and say, you're using too much water, we don't want you to use anymore because I'm an existing customer. If the city puts restrictions on the whole system, they apply to the university, but that they would be just matching the system as a whole.
However, there is the company, limits the amount of water to 260 megawatts a year, and above that, there's offset. Fees paid would be devoted to offsetting that amount. And that's the nature of the situation that there. Usually projects come to LAFCO, and they come as projects without any conditions attached. Here we have a very unique instance where there's been a number of conditions attached and agreed to by all parties in the comprehensive subdivision. About traffic, about housing, about water. Those things are in place, which is very unusual for LAFCO to get a number of conditions in place. Our responsibility as authorities is to see if those conditions are not what we want to add additional conditions to. There's already a number of in place that address the issue. Alternate period.
So I saw that
as
soon as I answered the question. is the proposal that the in effect the campus as a whole, including this additional area, is limited to 176 million gallons of use, and that use beyond 176 million gallons then starts using this $3 million reserve,
I guess, I may not have gotten your question exactly right, but
they, UCSC as a whole has, I'm using my language, and others may find this not half, but they sort of banned. They were at 206 and did a lot of work to save 30 million gallons. So they kind of banked that, you know, those callbacks, so they have that credit. So when they, with the current motion, if they go over that 170-176, until they get to 206, there would be the offset program that the campus itself would operate with the Chancellor articulated, offered earlier today. Once it gets to 206, then they start paying even more, you know, a much higher fee to the city, likewise offset. And there it becomes a much more explicit, you know, and yet to be nailed down. I mean, I feel like the city is fully committed to this, but that some LAFCO petitioners are just not sure that the mechanism is as tight as it should be. But I think when all is said and done, there will be a mechanism in place that will guarantee the offset of anything above 206. So that we are saying that there's never, you know, under any circumstance, 206 is the net, the maximum net demand of the UCSC campus.
Thank you.
Any other
questions?
Well, I'm
studying the back on the motion.
Yeah, so
5 minutes
is up. Yes.
Okay.
Well,
my understanding is we're basically staying with the 206. And the only funds that will change is what's passed the offer for the board. I have figured out that this $10,000 per million gallons is equivalent to about 4 million gallons per year drop. In other words, going from 206 down to about 202. I personally would feel a little more comfortable dropping down to over 200 million gallons. I don't know. I mean, this particular thing, this is a good time to have negotiations with the party that will happen. But I did want to hear what the consequences of this $10,000 per million gallons actually involves.
I'm not quite sure I understand the your.
Yeah, well, what do you feel is you start with 176 to 206, it's 30 million dollars. Now, the campus has offered to get us $10,000 per million gallons. So we take that 10,000 times 30, that's $300,000. Now, that is approximately what the contribution would be with about 1 week, what we would like the city for, based on 65,000. So I'm just offering this a little perspective about what the actual deal is.
Thank you, Chair. I find it interesting that that 3 months after we voted on a new set of conditions, that today is the first day in which the City and University are coming up with alternatives. In that time, we've been four times in writing the City and University have threatened to sue us. So, I'm interested in trying to work something out that protects the natural resources, that ensures that the community has the water availability possible. And I think it's useful to engage in negotiation where we can meet our shared goals. It's not useful to try to intimidate the commission with threats of legal action. Or even withdrawing the application, as was suggested earlier today. So I'm not prepared to vote on this motion today, but I would be interested in having a conversation with you or others about this and bring it back at a later time to see what we can do, to see whether where there are opportunities that make sense for it or not. Hopefully, maybe you would find it useful, or the audience would find it useful, to also see a revised Condition 1 based on the conversation that I've had with our attorney, to see where we are and to get some sense whether there's common ground or not. At the end of the day, we want to do what's right for the environment and the community. And trying to figure out the best way to do that, I appreciate the spirit in which you offer it, but it's a change of course from what we've seen from the city and university over the past 3 months.
I think it's going to be useful for you to be able to discuss it. Just to clarify, the 3 months between December and March, nothing happened until March. And in fact, during that time, the community did sue the city council. So there's been talks of lawsuits and revised motions that were made. At the time, I wouldn't disparage what's going on now. We're trying to work our way to a solution to work together. But if you'd like to discuss your alternative.
Yeah. I'm not disparaging. I'm noting the change of course, and it's helpful to get the conversation, and it's I'm noting that we're doing it on the day of the meeting instead of using the 3 months that intervened where we got lots of different messages. Yeah, and don't confuse me with community water.
Would you like to discuss it?
Well, I see Commissioner Lane.
Well, just a couple of comments about that. One is that, as for better or for worse, there was a lot of time passed that wasn't where the legal issues connected to the substitute motion from March were kind of getting sorted out. And some of the, as you know, and perhaps members of the public do not know, because I had sort of an appearance of a conflict of interest, I declined to participate in the legal discussions in closed session that the rest of the LAFCA did. So I had to rely on my own understanding, my discussion with our city attorney about these issues, just other members of the community, talk to the university, talk to at least one other LAFCA commissioner, just saying, okay, as we're kind of sorting through this, looks like a train wreck to me. So I spent, once I came to some understanding, literally just in the last week, had the staff report, the conditions written out in great detail, I said, okay, I'm going to take a shot at writing something different that I think addresses some of the legal issues, addresses some of the issues that I heard the commissioner raise. And then, as you know, with the Brown Act, I can't share my idea ahead of time with the commission. I can only share it with up to two other commissioners, so I couldn't share it with you. That wasn't because I would love to have been able to get together with you and talk about this beforehand, but that just isn't allowed. So this is the best way I can do it. I just don't know how else to do it, and I didn't. And I certainly expect a full discussion, whether it's today or carried over to another day, to kind of dig into the details here. But I really wanted to set up, I think, a framework that maybe would lead to something that accomplished LAFCA's goal, but did in fact avoid a lawsuit, because I do think it's not, I said this before, but I'm going to repeat it, that it's not just about whether someone threatened to sue us or not. It's also about the legal issues underneath those, and that we have to address them, whether or not we're sure we're right as LAFCA. So it's just a lot better if we just never get to a lawsuit just because we all agree in this setting that we have a solution that worked for everyone. So that's where I'm trying to go. So I'm interested in that same part. I spent some time reviewing all the documents yesterday in preparation for this meeting. And between the city and the university, we've been threatened, I think, 8 or 9 times with lawsuits. Started back in December before the first meeting. And that's not including the vague threats of litigation after our water policies or the vague threats that we're making this morning. So
So, you know, in the spirit of cooperation, I'm all for cooperation, but I'm just saying the messaging has been quite different over the past 6 months. So, you know, it's hard to think of that there's interest in wanting to avoid lawsuits. The threats have come repeatedly and consistently.
Yes.
Have you shared this with the university?
Yes.
I'm glad to see that, you know, at least appears to be agreement that the HCD has a place in this process, that annexation has a place in this process, and that the university exploring alternative water sources, either on campus or with the city, has a place. There seems to be sufficient disagreement about the condition, number one, and the framing of that. Because I was led to believe, based on correspondence from both the city attorney and the university's attorneys, that God forbid you talk about HCD, God forbid you talk about annexation, those are in place. So I think this is an excellent step. I find it interesting that the two people that proposed this for city were not.
I'm going to repeat myself.
We're just trying to get Daniel scary with
that. And I think, you know, I don't want to step on the chair's toes, but I think there may be some reason to continue this matter and allow those two commissioners to sit down and hammer out condition one, subjects regarding water neutrality, et cetera. I mean, that's part of Commissioner Wayne's proposal anyway, that it brought back the water neutrality program to more clear questions. That's my question.
Well, I mean, honestly, we'll know if it's going to come back probably two more times.
At least.
We've got two. This is the third of probably 5 years of the follow-up with the last one. We're proposing that the university's proposal about water conservation on campus, they're offering the water neutral program. They both come back for approval. We have the staff will prepare the actual documents that will put in place whatever we pass, and that comes back and probably the next meeting lines. And then any person or institution can ask for a no-vote hearing, including a new hearing on the same subject matter. That was the point that was probably our fifth hearing. I'm not sure about continuing. I mean, maybe if we get clarification, that's all I was offering a political chance to talk about condition one and this idea of condition one, and maybe see if the commission wants to consider the difference between the goal of the president. I'm hoping that.
Can I just say, because there was one other thing that I just thought would be worth mentioning, because it was sort of the last part of the condition one, that I think we should at least, again, this is one of those trying to address a legal issue, I think in a way that is appropriate, dealing with what would be the consequences if the water neutrality program did not succeed, because I think the original motion had actually water being turned off to the campus, and I just think that's probably not only legally problematic, but I just think just on the straight face test, like people are living up there and working up there, and it gets to be, you know, December and they've used up all the water, you know, under these terms, it would not really make sense as a matter of public policy to just say, sorry, you don't get any more water. So I think we have to come up with some other way. Again, I'm just suggesting a way that frankly puts the burden kind of more on the city to just that it's got, you know, that it has to achieve it and will have to take other measures to achieve it. And again, this could have more clarity if we use, takes more time to describe what the city's water neutrality program would be subject to that.
Any other thoughts? My consideration is having to come back for 6 months. And so
refer to condition one. As I said, with the help of Mr. Garcia, in the hopes of finding something that was, you know, that we heard the concerns raised. And so I feel as though it has a good basis. It's the motion I worked out, and to the extent that he said that he thought it was all right, that's a good thing. And I thought it would be helpful, because I heard the concerns raised at the last meeting. I don't know whether Mr. McCormick, whether you're able to pull up that email that has the maybe you can just go up to the view. Maybe it's there. Or the review. Go into the review section and go into the final showing markup. Final showing markup.
Final showing.
Let's go under final. Yeah. No.
Oh,
let's do final.
Okay. Well, so collectively, we think we can do this.
All right. So the question was brought up about whether we could impose conditions on the entire campus. Or whether we're more legally sound imposing it on just the North Campus expansion. I do note that earlier, the first motion that our commission considered did cover the entire campus. But since then, and the university and city agreed to those first conditions. But since then, they decided that that's not okay. They brought up legal points, and so I've tried to address this simply on the part of the North Campus. And I won't go through this, I won't read this, but generally here's what's going on in this condition. One is it basically says for the drops of water that are used in the North Campus that they will be offset somewhere else in the system. It could be on campus, it could be off campus. That the university would get credit for conservation at the 176 million down level, but using the 5-year average. I can also see that has some weight in Commissioner Lane's proposal as well. And that these conditions would only be in place until they reach 206, because at 206 there's a contractual agreement that the city and university have, that the conservation efforts would be using the same standard that's in the comprehensive settlement agreement, which is $6,530 for every 85,000 gallon increment. So I'm using the same measure and standard that was part of the CSA that we talked about a lot here. And the reporting requirements are also very similar. Just reviewing Commissioner Lane's, it doesn't have this whole thing about water credits, and that's a difficult notion for me. I haven't gotten my hands around it completely. I would also offer that the city has the choice to waive these fees if they choose to. As a water user, I would hope that they wouldn't, but you know that would give the city some ability to choose what's in the best interest of their system. And then there would be the same reporting would go on, similar to my original motion, but there would be some changes. The 176 million gallons a year figure is not referenced in the reports, but it's simply used as a conservation number. And that's in recognition of the work that's already been done. And using a five-year average, what is any one-year number, which I don't find it useful when you look at that chart and you see the ups and downs of the chart. To me, it makes better sense to go on an average rather than 1 year, because 1 year is a snapshot. 5 years give you a better sense about the trends. So this, I think, is eminently more legally defensible than the condition one that we had last time, although I believe it achieves the same goals that we did last time. And since I'm in the interest of, I would like to avoid a lawsuit and hope that we can work together. In the event that we have to go to the court, I want to make sure that we have something that's legally defensible. And I believe this is an even stronger footing.
Questions? So we have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Lane, seconded by Commissioner.
I know I'm going to disagree with the chair, if I may, a little bit, that I know you're dreading the prospect of multiple meetings, but if that's what it's going to take to get this worked out and avoid, for instance, avoid lawsuits and maybe come to an agreement, I feel like it's worth the time. So I just want to say that, and I'm kind of interested to hear from, before we go to a vote, just what the other commissioners who haven't spoken, what their sentiment around that is, because if people want to move to vote, that's great, but if people do actually feel like maybe we should, spend some time understanding some of these things. I think if we said we were going to do that, I think we would have to take a few minutes after that to identify specific tasks and questions we want answered in the interim, set up whatever committees we need to set up so that we have a really good process to find, even though, frankly, it will require an additional meeting.
Either that or what the chair recommends, the one other way to proceed, I think, is that somebody could make a motion to amend the motion with this new plan that was described by Mr. Whipple. They could take a vote on that, or take a vote on what's in the courts. I'd like to hear from it.
I would support my colleague, Commissioner Lane, in the idea of trying to find common ground, hearing from commissioners, and hopefully we can come back. I would ask that we not do it at our August meeting, but do it at our September meeting, because as we have seen from the testimony today, and specific requests, is that there is community interest from the student body who aren't going to be here. And I think that given the amount of time that they put in to participating and preparing for this, we should honor that by waiting until a time where they can effectively participate.
I will point out that we could come back in August, September, and October. There's plenty of meetings to come to. Now, but we can't come back in October, November, and December, whatever.
Talking about dates, so that actually we would have to wait till October for the students to be back. There are maybe a few hardcore students that will show up in September, but normally we don't even have the summer school students in August. So just, however, it might be worthwhile to talk about this in August, particularly since we have something to meet. Condition one. And then that whole question about maybe we could get the water quality piece completely better defined by August. August is not very far away, so I think most of you will. And I, for example, would not really like to talk about water neutrality until I see the baseline studies in the center. way through, then we still haven't seen it. So I don't know, maybe someone from the city can tell us what the hangup is and when we might expect that.
Well, I would just say that in discussing with Mr. Garcia also that, our proposal from John was in light of our conversations this morning more defensible for us. And I agree that this is a lot of the digest in comparison to what you do in the Second Amendment for the First Amendment. So, and where we're at, just to be clear on that, but I think brought up with two days is an important part of the water neutrality. I think that to understand water neutrality a little more clearly has a lot to do with it, because I'm sure somebody in the audience would the question was raised about whether the current UCS campus can use one limited amount of water. Someone's going to think, well, okay, what if they use that to supply the market?
So, the North Campus is needed. So, do I hear a motion to table this?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to table this. And meanwhile,
Chair.
Yes.
I would say table clock over.
Come back on October, November, and December. So you can't do it until September, October, November.
There might be a few of us that are busy in November.
Can I suggest, just thinking about that we keep this on our agenda in August, not to make any final decision, but that we could dig into some of the issues? And because one of the things that happens, I think, by us doing some work even in August, is it allows staff then to prepare the item for when we really want to make a formal decision. So I don't know exactly, I don't want to be too specific, but I'd sure like to just keep us working on it, if that's our intention, and still protect the public's opportunity to, you know, before any final decision is made to be here. But I want us to get some work done before then, so we're ready.
I just want to make sure the audience understands, any one person, no matter who you are, can ask for the noble hearing, which means a brand new hearing on the same subject. After the final, so we have the next meeting, we come back, discuss what sort of approach we want to take, what conditions we want to put on it. Then it comes back again, at which point we have a public hearing the first time, and a public hearing the second time, with the actual documents for us to pass. And then, we'll come, and then if somebody asks for the noble hearing, they'll come back a third time again with the public hearing. So this is the third of possibly five, and now we're talking about six public hearings with, you know, an hour to 2 hours of public hearing. So I'm not sure that anybody can make the argument that people are being shortchanged to be able to discuss this in front of us. I think I'm probably getting far out, but we made a motion.
Well, we're going to say that I share Commissioner Lane's interest in having discussion. And similar to what we did with the water policies, which came back to us twice before we actually voted on them, it would be in keeping with at least our past practice to cogitate on some of these issues before we actually come to a vote as a way of checking in. So whether that's August or September, I don't think we should have a public meeting. We're going to vote on something as well.
I know I've been rather customarily quiet during the hearing today, and basically because I really wanted to be able to digest all the discussion that was going on, I'd rather see us come back and have discussion in August. I think tabling is something that's just a way of continuously killing it. I've seen that too many times, and it's charming to be able to see how issues get tabled and sidetracked and they get killed. And I'd rather see us be a working body, where this body is being along and progressing on some conclusion at some particular point. I'm not the objection of waiting until October for the final meeting, but I think we should be working on it and living on dialogue of over the numbers. The numbers are somewhat, while I'm supportive of Commissioner Lane's motion, I second the motion. I still like to see us progress on. I don't think public testimony was pretty explicit today. I think people really have to say what they have to say. And I don't believe that that's really going to change a great deal. Not that I want to deny anybody the opportunity to be able to express themselves. But a lot of the arguments, that the discussion we're having about talking about numbers and voter neutrality policies, were very rarely addressed in public testimony today. They addressed other issues about the North Campus project. So I'd like to see us come back and discuss whether the numbers are a part of the item on number one and condition one. I'd like to see us come back sooner than later and have that discussion.
Why are you doing the motion? I'm talking about you have a certain number.
Well, I'd like to have us come back for a vote in October. I'm okay with us coming back and checking in about where we are in terms of the conversation in both our August and September meeting. That seems to me to be healthy. But to ensure that we get, we have seen over a number of hearings that a lot of students are interested in actively participating in this. And I want to keep them active and participating in this. And I know we're in the summer break, we're not going to stop working. But we're not going to take a vote that we're at a public hearing where the public has clearly expressed that they want to be involved. So I want that to happen in October. But we can come back and talk about where we are and just sunshine some things.
Well, the motion is that this is tabled until a vote until October, but open for discussion. And who's the second?
I'll second.
So we have that.
I think we should vote on this, but I want to make sure it doesn't preclude us then making some other process decisions subsequent to this vote. Is that agreeable to everyone? Well, just about what's going to happen, what we're going to try and do in August and September.
Well, what I would suggest is that Commissioner Lane and I, and maybe Commissioner Roger Anderson, form a subcommittee that we can bring back ideas to this commission. Either August or
September. It's the chair's prerogative to appoint the candidates, all the
citizens. Chair Coonerty, I think it's important that the subcommittee, however you constituted, is in charge with the meeting with the city and the university perhaps, in terms of some of the implications of this foreign travel program, which I think is really key.
Right. My intention is to appoint a subcommittee of Roger Anderson and Don Lane to meet with the city to the foreign travel program. That's the city program. And then the second, so we have a made motion to table on the floor. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passed unanimously. Motion to table that. And then I will appoint that subcommittee to work on the water neutrality program with the city of Santa Cruz to bring it back for a vote in front of the commission.
Chair, my hope is, and Commissioner will be correct me if I'm wrong, it would be good to have some subcommittee that meets with the city, the university, and I would argue the Community Water Coalition about all the conditions, because Commissioner Lane has revised all the conditions that are revised from what I revised at the March meeting. And so I think it's useful.
Okay. Now,
it's
no problem
with Brown Act without us on this question. That's correct. It would announce an ad hoc committee of the Brown Act without the Brown Act regulations in regards to the noticing of the agendas.
Okay. One question about the Brown Act and this ad hoc committee. Since there are three of them proposed to be on it, should comments regarding the specific conditions that are under discussion occur in an open meeting as now, as opposed to individual commissioners contacting any of the commissioners on the ad hoc committee? How does that work?
Maybe help me understand where the question is again.
Well, we formed this committee, this ad hoc committee. It's three meeting.
As I understand from the chair, there will be two people involved in the...
Well, that's the committee to deal with the Watson Kelly Road.
Got it.
This was one that worked out in condition for one, my understanding.
Well, if my one, I mean, if there's water neutrality, then there's the HCP, then there's the reporting requirements. So there are four parts to the conditions. And, Commissioner Lane had revised all four of them. And so in the interest of collaboration, I'd be interested in being able to find out all four.
Okay, so to just be clear, the commission, consisting of Roger Anderson and Don Lane, will deal with the water neutrality part of the city of Santa Cruz, defining that in a more clear way to bring them back for a vote of the commission, and also to take up the chancellor's proposal about their water conservation program. So they will look at those two things, discuss them, and bring them back for a vote in front of the commission. Then there's another subcommittee that will suggest that it would be Commissioner Lane, Commissioner Leopold, and Commissioner Roger Anderson that would look at all the conditions, work with the university, the water community water coalition, and the city of Santa Cruz, and come back with a document to place in front of the commission over again for a vote. And it may be discussed in August and September. The question is, we have different groups of people that have discussed things. Does that leave the rest of us, Mr. Rebos, Mr. Spanish, and myself, Mr. Dodge, to not contact those commissioners to talk about this in terms of the budget draft?
So, right, if there are three, so this would be a case whether you appointed the ad hoc committee or not, that the Brown Act prevents a majority of the commissioners discussing and deliberating on matters within the jurisdiction outside of the notice public meeting. So notwithstanding the fact that you are establishing this as an ad hoc committee, that prescription applies regardless. So if there are matters that are being examined by the ad hoc committee, they would not be allowed to communicate either directly or indirectly with other members of the commission without taking place at the most public hearing.
So in fact, we could have that discussion now. If you want to inform those people about either of those subcommittees or in August and September, instead of not being closed in the public, we could have a discussion there.
That's correct.
We'll have an information item. Yeah, I think that last piece is what seems really important is if we keep this on the agenda in August and September and the two working groups, task force, tell what's going on so far, everybody else could comment at the meeting about how we're doing. And I think that may, I'm not sure, just looking ahead, that that'll be as productive on the larger task force because there'll be so many moving parts. You can certainly comment, but I think especially, if the one just working on the city's water neutrality effort, that I think we could get, if not a formal vote, but we could know when the commission was kind of nodding their head that, yeah, that part's kind of done. You know, Roger and I would report what we think we come up with. You guys say, okay, that looks good, we don't need to work on that anymore, and then we move on to the other stuff.
I think we'll have simultaneous.
Yeah, they could be simultaneous, but I'm just trying to isolate that one has a simpler task than the other.
And it also allows us to include our alternates as part of the discussion. Because we're just doing information for us.
Right?
And get your
great. So at this point, that's the prerogative of the chair. Is anybody confused or I'm willing to serve on these committees? I all understand sort of
ground rules. Ask the alternate here and I'll explain it to
you. Okay. Good, that those committees are there by appointment, and we'll be back for a discussion in August 1st. I believe it'll be a state of the meeting.
The August meeting is August the 1st. I've got a meeting scheduled out over my shoulder, and the commission actually has a few other items on the agenda if you are done with the North Campus.
Okay. I think we are done with North Campus, unless anybody has yes. before. Okay, thank you again for everybody participating in this long discussion. Do you have a little bit of